Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. This is a day you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day, Lord. We thank you that you have looked ahead and made provision for this day. You've seen this day coming a long ways away. And you've already ordained today to be the best day of our life. So we thank you for that right now and give you the glory. And because it's the best day, we open ourselves up, Lord, to set ourselves up for tomorrow to be even better day. Hallelujah. We open our ears to your word. We incline ourselves to hear your word today. And as we hear your word, Lord, we thank you that you will grant to us wisdom. Wisdom to know, to discern, to understand, Lord God, to stand on your word until we see a manifestation of your power and your glory. So we thank you, Lord, that when you manifest yourself, we will not be surprised, but we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because you alone are worthy. Hallelujah. And we thank you that as we lift up your name this day, Lord, we will be bold to share with others what is the hope that's in us, to share with them what is the truth that we have learned from you. So we give you glory and honor and praise for these things right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? Come on. We'll sing this song real quick. Come on. Wilson, why don't you take that on? Come on. Yeah.
Here it comes. What song is this? Make It Up?
Are you ready? No.
And honor and glory forever. We give you honor and glory forever.
Now y'all say,
glory.
We give you the honor and glory
forever.
We give you honor, we give you the glory,
glory.
That's what we're here for.
Forever, we give you glory.
I don't know about you, but he's been good. Like I knew he would. We give you glory. We give you honor forever.
Forever.
We give you.
We give you
we
glory.
We give you honor and glory forever.
Forever.
And ever and ever. I'm not what I used to be. Because of you, I've got to praise you.
Yeah.
I once was sick and couldn't get well, but now I'm healed, and I'm here to say I'm not gonna stop giving you praise, glory, and honor. Belongs to your name.
Hey, come on. Somebody got to give him some glory in here today.
Have I got a witness? Just one witness. We give you glory.
Woo.
And honor forever.
Forever, yeah, yeah. We give
don't
you glory, Lord. Give you honor, Lord.
Don't
forever.
Come on. Turn it up louder. Let's make some real noise up in here. See, the early church didn't have all this electricity and all this fancy stuff. And so sometimes we get quiet when the music stops, but sometimes we got to remember that we're the music makers.
That's right.
That there's a praise in our heart. And no matter what we're going through, God is still worthy of all the praise. And if you believe that today, I'm going to ask the musicians just to stop and just raise your voice. We give you. give up. We give you the praise. We give you glory and honor and honor.
Forever.
It belongs to you.
And ever.
It belongs to Jesus.
We give you glory and honor. Forever.
Verse 7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. So when I ask you, are you ready? You need to know that you ain't ready till you're ready to say yes to God. We're not ready until we're ready to worship God. We're not ready until we know that God is alive and we're willing to give him the sacrifice of praise. We're not ready to know anything. We're not ready to understand until we are ready to say yes to God, to give God praise and give God worship and give God glory. You're not ready for nothing until you're ready. You can seek God, you can cry to God, you can talk to God, you can do whatever you want, but you're not ready for what God wants to share with you until you're ready to give him praise. When you're ready to give God praise, then you're ready to hear what God has to say. Because you can't hear from God until you're ready to honor God as God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of your knowledge. You can't get anywhere without the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord. We give you glory and honor. Even if we don't know the song, just let's flow with it. Make it up. Let's go. But give him some glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just give him some praise. Hallelujah. This is what God is desiring, the praises of his people. If God's people can't praise him, can't nobody praise him. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Now we're ready for the word. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're talking about wisdom. And I just quoted you the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fool despises hearing what God has to say. I was one of those fools. I was one of those fools who grew up in a house where we had a Bible on the table. We didn't read the Bible. And then when crisis happened to hit my life, because I knew all the Bible stories, but I never meditated on the Bible, I got mad at God. And I told God, I'm going to give you 2 days to prove that you're really God. You only got 2 days. It took you 7 to make the world, but you're going to have to do 2 to get me right. I'm going to give you 2 days to prove that you're God. And if you don't prove that you're God, then I'm going to believe you don't exist. And I told God that. 2 days went by. Nothing happened. I said, from this day forward, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I was 15 years old. And I became an atheist. And I argued with grown folks when I was 15 years old. I was 16 and made a grown man cry. I challenged his faith so hard I made him cry at my Catholic high school. I made a teacher cry. Now, I look back and realize he was probably crying for me. But that's a different story.
Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools push off instruction when we try to tell people about the Lord. The foolishness of humanity comes up and it pushes back. You know what something interesting is? When I talk to people and they say they're agnostics and I talk to them about God, they usually don't argue about the source of God. Because once you go toe-to-toe and you have a conversation about simple logic, they say, well, I believe in a big bang. Well, who made the bang? Now you just found God. You can get through all the atheistic and all the agnostic dialogue. You can get through it. But here's what really comes down to. People don't want to believe that God wants to instruct them. It has nothing to do with the science and all that foolish. It has nothing to do with all that. Because even if you follow science, you still get back to the same equation. If you believe in cause and effect, something has to cause something. And once again, you just found God. The greatest physicist of this time who says he doesn't believe in anything. But he writes a book, and at the very end of this book, he's explaining string theory. Gets to the end of the book, and what does he say? When we figure out all those things that come together, chemistry, physics, mathematics, when we figure it all out, we will have found the mind of God. The mind of God is right here. You're wasting time. I could have told you the mind of God was right here. If you know the mind of God is at the end of your theory, then that means you already have answered the question. Amen. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen? We're talking about wisdom. Today we're going to talk about flesh and spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, flesh. Turn to your other neighbor and say, spirit. They are not the same. Flesh and spirit are not the same. They are different. They are distinct. If you believe that there's only one, then you will miss it. Because there is distinctly those things that are spiritual, and there are distinctly those things that are fleshly or natural. So I want you to listen to this definition. I pulled a definition of the word wisdom, and the Hebrew word for wisdom is the word chakma, C-H-A-K-M-A, chakma. It means this: wise, skillful, practical. It has two branches. It signifies an important element of Old Testament religious point of view. The religious experience was not routine, ritual, or just a faith experience. It was viewed as a mastery of the art of living in accordance with God's expectations. Chakma in the secular usage signified a man who was a skillful craftsman. The manufacturers of the objects belonging to the tabernacle were known to be wise or experienced in their crafts. Those who were experienced in life were known as wise, but their wisdom is not to be confused with religious usage. This includes people who are clever or shrewd, can be characterized as having a type of wisdom. So wisdom has these two branches. It has a spiritual context, which, as I just read, and then has this secular context, which includes being wise in crafts or having a special skill or ability. And then that other part of that natural portion is people who become, as we call, streetwise. They pick up a wisdom that has to do with life in the natural. Amen? Here's the problem with the church. As the church, we know there's a spiritual wisdom. And we say, thank you, Lord, I'm going to now have spiritual wisdom. But we try to sometimes have spiritual wisdom without being spiritual. So we do spiritual things without entering into the spirit. What do I mean by that? We become religious. We have a form of godliness, but sometimes deny the power. So we will adhere to religious wisdom as a code of living or a code of conduct and not let God touch the heart, where God has to then create real spiritual wisdom. On the other side of the coin, the church then said, there's so much worldly wisdom that we abused that I don't want any part to that. And I'm not going to be wise in that way at all. And then the world says, I don't understand. Why are you not doing this, this basic wisdom that seems like it's common sense? So we have Christians who pay for medical insurance but won't go to the doctor. You don't have to believe everything the doctor says. You have to know what he is. But why are we avoiding maintenance of our bodies? Why are we avoiding things? The world system's going, they're going to the gym, they're getting fit, they're doing this because they know they got to take care of the body. The body's in my temple. Temple of what? I don't know what it's a temple of, but it's a temple. You know you're the temple of the living God, but we're not taking care of the temples. So what happens is the church starts being either or instead of recognizing there are two distinct types of wisdom, but you need to use one discerned and you need to enter into the other yielded. We need to yield ourselves fully over to the wisdom of God and be discerning about how we use our natural wisdom. So listen to this. Let's go to James. Turn your Bible. Open your Bible to James chapter 1. Now, we read this before. We'll get into this. James chapter 1. There's two different sources of wisdom out there. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I beat pastor. Some of y'all got it. That means I beat the rest of y'all. All right. All right. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Tell your neighbor, say, if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you liberally. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Turn to your other neighbor, say, ask in faith. And God will do it. Verse 8, he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If we ask God without faith, it means we become double-minded. We're asking God, but we don't believe God will give it to us. Now, sometimes we say we believe, but our actions don't indicate that we believe, which means we got to go back and just stir up our faith. Amen? Turn to James, a couple of pages over. Go to James chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. Listen close to this. True wisdom. When you get there, say, amen. Amen. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, wisdom. Listen to this. Who is wise and understanding among you? If we're wise, then the first thing we have to reconcile is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we're not starting with the fear of the Lord, then our wisdom is going to be tainted. Our wisdom is going to be stuck in our own selves. It's going to be stuck in our own self-seeking. It's going to be stuck in our own envies, our own things that we desire. And what happens when desire comes? When your desires get too strong, you get turned away from the things of God. Like I said, nobody resists God because God is good. People resist God because of our own desires. We reject God because of our own desires. I want to do it my way. I don't want to do what the Bible says. I don't want to do what the church said. I want to do it my way. You can't stop me from doing it my way. You're right. I can't, and I won't try to stop you from doing it your way. Because you know why? There's a way that seems right, but the end is of destruction. See, we believe that we can do whatever we want to do, but wisdom says you got to start with the fear of the Lord and let God start authoring what we do and how we do, because when we do that, then we will dwell safely. In a while, I'm going to tell you what wisdom says it will do, and you'll be surprised. But there's a lot of things that come on humanity because we haven't been wise, because we haven't understood, because we didn't know. Because where there is no knowledge, what happens? People perish. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Knowledge without wisdom means we know, but we don't do anything with it. So we want to be people who embrace this wisdom. Look at the rest of this. Verse 14. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie about the truth. First thing is, if you got something in your heart, don't deny us there. See, positive thinking says, just think positive and it'll go away. It doesn't go away. It gets covered over. And then eventually, that's why the word says, by a root of bitterness, many are defiled. Because we covered it over with good thinking, but we didn't deal with the bitterness that's in our hearts. What causes bitterness? I was a bitter person because I was mad about something. I was mad about something, and I knew I was mad. But it's in there, brewing. The longer anger sits in the heart of a person, the longer the roots of bitterness go, the deeper they go. And if we don't acknowledge the fact that we're mad about things and really take that thing to the Lord, then you will continue to cover it over, and eventually it's going to defile you. It's going to come out in a way you don't expect. We counseled this husband and wife, and they had a child. They had a little boy. And so the husband and wife were having a real tough time. The wife got so angry at the husband, she's just decided that she's going to cut the husband off, take her child, and go away. And I told her when she did it, I said, that boy is going to grow up. And one day, you're going to look at that boy, and you're going to see his daddy, and you're going to download all your mess you haven't dealt with on that boy. And she didn't believe me. You know why I know? Because I've seen it before. If you don't deal with what's in our hearts, we think that just dealing with natural stuff, I'm going to physically take my child out of this environment, that's flesh. We think we're just going to physically move and that's going to deal with it. But what you're dealing with is not flesh. What you're dealing with is a spiritual root. And because it's spiritual, the natural separation is not going to stop it. That's why generational curses work. Because a curse gets on somebody, it's there. We try to deal with it in the natural, and you think you dealt with it, you think you moved on, and here it is. Why? It wasn't natural. Can't deal with spiritual things in natural ways. You got to deal with spiritual things with spiritual things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we started with last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I thought this message was about wisdom. First Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 9. Listen to this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, there's some things that you can't understand unless you understand them spiritually. Nobody knows what's in your heart except God and you. You're the only two who knows what's in your heart. So sometimes we cover over so that people don't see what's in us. But guess what? They don't know what's in you anyway. Sometimes we cover things up and we're trying not to let people know that we're dealing with it. They don't know. The only way they know is that they recognize it because they got it too. So why do we pretend? Now there's a difference in pretending and moving in faith towards something. And sometimes people fake faith and pretend. You know what I mean by faking faith? How you doing? I'm good. I wish they'd stop asking me how I'm doing because I really ain't doing good. Why every time he see me, he got to ask me that same stupid question. I don't feel good. Why is he asking me that question? See, that's not being truthful. Now, here's the same situation. How you doing? I'm doing good. Praise God. God has healed me. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm fighting a good fight of faith. That's a whole different conversation on the inside. That's the conversation of faith on the inside. See, we're talking about faith because faith with wisdom is what gives us manifestation. The combination of faith and wisdom brings about manifestation, but we can't even get there till we're first ready to be open about what's really going on. What is really happening in our hearts? We can't move in wisdom until we can first lay whatever it is in truth before God. God is a God of spirit and in truth. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that means when I'm in truth, I got to come to God and say, Lord, you see my life is broken. You see everything that's destroyed. You see it all, Lord. Yet will I praise you. Yet will I give you glory. Not, no, everything's fine. No, Lord, you see what it is. You see what I'm dealing with. You see the grief I'm dealing with. You see the heartbreak I'm dealing with. You see the trouble I'm dealing with. You see everything about me. And I lay myself open to you so that you can bring real healing to me. Real healing to me. Real healing. When my father passed away, my father was in Los Angeles, and we got a phone call that we should come to Los Angeles. So we jumped in the car, and my father had been up and down different times, and we never felt compelled to go, but we both were like, we gotta go. So we got in the car, and we drove to Los Angeles. We drove to Los Angeles, we got there. My sister and my other brother were already at the hospital. We drove right to the hospital, and we went. And we were in the room with my father. And he passed right there. Just enough time for us to drive, go into the room, and within an hour, he passed. So I start crying. And we're standing around him. We're crying. And I'm just honestly crying. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came over me. And it was a peace of God. It was nothing artificial whatsoever. The peace of God that goes past any form of human understanding just came over me. And when I stood there, I looked up and I saw my siblings, and the Lord said, now it's time to take care of business. And I went into a zone. And I took care of everything. I had to conduct the funeral. I had to do this. I had to do that. And it seemed like Lord, I don't want to do this. He said, but you can. I said, how come somebody else? Because you can. Because all of a sudden, I had a divine wisdom of the Holy Spirit that came over me and showed me how to handle it. How to handle the grief, how to handle everything, how to bless other people in the middle of my trouble. I went to the wake and I'm in the room. I go to have my little moment. I'm trying to walk out and I stayed in the room for the next hour and a half because person after person kept grabbing me and bringing me back in. And they would cry and I would comfort them and I would take them out. And I'd come back, somebody else bring me, cry. I comfort them. I take them out for an hour and a half. It just kept on going and going. And I'm saying, Lord, how come I'm not crying? Lord, why am I not crying right now? He said, because I've spiritually endowed you with something for this moment. I have spiritually entered into your life to do something right now that nobody else can do. Not because you're special, but because I am with you. I will talk to you in this moment and share spiritual things with you that nobody else is going to get. They're not going to understand it. You're going to have it because I'm talking directly to you, spiritual to spiritual. Nobody knows the spirit of a man except the spirit that's in him, and in me is the Holy Spirit. In you is the Holy Spirit. So in you, God can reveal things to you deep down on your inside that have nothing to do with what anybody else can understand. That's why you have to walk by faith and not by sight. Not just as a clever saying, but really as an inward witness that only God understands what he's telling me right now. Nobody else may get it. Other people may identify it. Other people may be able to understand it a little bit, but only I really know the depth of what God is saying in my heart right now. So we walk by faith, by wisdom of God. Now, look at the rest of this. Y'all remember what verse we're on? 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Guess what? You can judge me, but you won't judge me rightly. I can judge you, but I won't judge you rightly. You know why? Because I don't know what's in your heart. Only God can truly judge you. The word of God can judge what you do. The word of God can give you understanding, but no person can rightly judge you. Now, don't use our freedom as a cloak for vice. In other words, don't believe that because God, nobody can judge you, that means I can do whatever I want to do, because you've gone right back to resisting the fear of the Lord. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? The answer is nobody. But then he comes back with, but we have the mind of Christ. Come on, pat yourself, say, I have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of God. You can, if you listen to what God is saying in your spirit, you can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you, not from the outside, but from the inside. We're talking about the indwelling spirit of God that lives in us and is making changes even when we don't understand he's working. He's moving and guiding us in wisdom and understanding even when we don't get it. He's still working in us. He's still doing more. He's still bringing about a change. Wisdom is the ability to use stored up knowledge. God is storing up knowledge. God is storing up revelation. God is storing up things in our hearts, and we don't even realize it's being stored. God is working in us, blessing us, doing things, getting us prepared for moments of revelation that come up, that end up being things that we know how to do that we shouldn't know.
that God's spiritually discerning things, things that we don't understand. We're experiencing, and God is putting us in position to bless the world through what he's teaching us. Knowledge is never enough. Wisdom can't just come from reason. Wisdom has to come from the power of God. The biblical wisdom we're talking about is the ability to make right choices at the opportune times. The right opportunity, you make the right decision. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's guiding you and giving you wisdom in the moment. The consistency of how we make those right choices is an indication of our maturity spiritually. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick, verse 30. Now somebody might be thinking there, wow, he just went past my head. I don't even understand what you're talking about. That's okay, because this passage is going to help you out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Jesus has become all the wisdom you actually need. We read this Old Testament thing, but you know what? In the New Testament, when you give your life to Jesus, Jesus himself becomes all the wisdom that we need. Now, let me help you with this. How many know you're righteous in Christ? How many know you're sanctified in Christ? How many know you're redeemed in Christ? Look at the rest of the passage. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption all come after the wisdom. Come on, look at the passage. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So if you know you are redeemed, and you know you're sanctified, you know you love God, don't ever again say you're confused. Don't ever again confess that. Just like you don't confess, I don't know if I'm saved. No, you know you're saved by the word of God and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you need to have faith in the Lord for your wisdom as well. Because Christ was made to you wisdom just as much as he was made to you for sanctification. And that ain't me saying it, that's your Bible saying that. Christ has been made unto us wisdom from God, not just sensual, sense-based wisdom, wisdom from God, supernatural, Holy Ghost wisdom from God. Just like you're redeemed, just like you're saved, just like you're sanctified, just like those things came out of the blood of Jesus, the wisdom of God came from the blood of Jesus. It has given you boldness and access to the throne of grace that you can find help in every time of need. That's what God has given us in Christ. Christ is not just about us being in church. Christ is about us walking into any environment and releasing the Holy Ghost with wisdom for the moment, wisdom for the situation. Supernatural wisdom from God. Christ was made for me. Wisdom from God. That's what he's been made for me for. He's given me wisdom from God, wisdom from the Creator, wisdom from the throne of grace, wisdom from God Almighty himself. And just as sure as I'm saved, I'm wise. Y'all can say amen if you want to. What does wisdom do? Let's go to Proverbs 1 and 20. The Lord is, he's hilarious. Lord Jesus. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Wisdom is calling out. Just like we're going all the world and we're preaching the voice of the gospels all the world, crying out for whoever would hear, whoever receive, let him come. Wisdom is doing the same thing. Wisdom is crying aloud. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. Ask of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6.
Proverbs 2 and 6. I'm almost there. Here we go. Proverbs 2 and 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." The Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge. How many need some wisdom right now for a search situation you got? We need this wisdom, don't we? Amen. Amen. Well, this is what does it say? It says, the Lord gives wisdom. He gives it. The Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Amen. Proverbs 2 and 10. Check it out. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and whose devious ways are part of their path. The Lord will bring deliverance through wisdom. If you're in a bad situation, wisdom can bring you deliverance. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 3, verse 11. Proverbs 3 and 11 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction." First thing, sometimes when you're on your own path, God may have to give you some correction. God may have to chasten you. You know what chasten is? Discipline. Mm-hmm. My favorite view of chasten is when a mother has one hand like this and the other hand like that. That's the chastening of the Lord. You know, when you got that one arm raised and you're trying to protect yourself, trying to get that arc in your back and get so she can't reach you. Yeah, that's a lot of laughing going on. Y'all know what that's about. Yes, Lord. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Look at this. For who the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Ooh, check this out. Check this out. Stay with me here. For the proceeds, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all, somebody say all. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Come on, wisdom ain't a bad thing, y'all. Wisdom's not a bad thing. Wisdom is to be desired, amen? Amen. How many of y'all want to be wise? Praise the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Now, if you haven't caught the pattern yet, from Proverbs chapter 1 all the way to Proverbs chapter 10 is all the benefits of wisdom just keep being spelled out more and more. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. Uh-oh, it done said it twice. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. It looks like I'm reading the same passage again, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Verse 12, wisdom is talking to us. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. So let me break some things down here. Over and over again, the book of Proverbs teaches that wisdom brings wealth. Wisdom brings riches. Now, a fool's wealth is his destruction. But the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. See, God wants us to be of the wise mindset so that he can begin to move things into our hands that we can manage without worldly wisdom. He wants to begin to get us in the mindset that we can accept and walk in such a wise way that the outcome of the wisdom of God brings harvest back so that he can establish his kingdom through us. He told the children of Israel, he said, after I bless you and I expand you, don't go back and start thinking to yourself, look at all the things that we have done. Because it is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth so that he can establish his covenant in the earth. Some people just take that part and say, the Lord gives us power to get wealth. No. God said, after I bless you, don't start thinking to yourself that you did it all. Because now you just left the fear of the Lord and you just went back. Remain with the fear of the Lord. Now, listen. Why is this important? This is important because there are people in here who have vision from God that is on hold. It's put on a shelf. And it's put on the shelf because we don't know how we're going to pay for it. It's not put on the shelf because I don't know what to do. It's not put on the shelf because I don't have the skill to do it. It's not put on the shelf because I don't have the wisdom how to execute it. It's put on the shelf 100% because I don't know how to pay for it. So what is God's answer? God's answer is start with wisdom. Get back to the step of wisdom. Get back to the step of wisdom. Fear the Lord. Let that become the beginning of knowledge. And then walk the wisdom. Call for God's wisdom. And what did God say? If any man lacks wisdom, if any man lacks, let ask of me, and I will give it to you liberally. I will give you wisdom liberally. But in order to handle God's wisdom, remember, there's two branches. To handle God's wisdom may mean you may have to take your worldly wisdom and put it on hold. Put it in the check. Because I know somebody who was given a vision from God. And they knew exactly what to do. And they went, because the word says, a multitude of counselors is safety. They sought counsel from one person. They got counsel from one person, and that one counsel destroyed their faith. Because the word says in a multitude of counselors is safety. Not just one counsel, multitude of counselors. And if you want counselors, the kind of counsel you seek is the kind of counsel you're getting. So if you're getting counsel from all ungodly people, you're going to get a whole bunch of ungodly counsel.
So they sought out counsel from one person. They got the counsel. When they got the counsel, it destroyed their faith. I said, man, yeah, I'm going to have to wait to do this. And they know God's telling them to do it now, but they kept waiting. They kept waiting. They kept waiting. Now, I'm not talking about something that was they're not sure about. I'm talking about they're sure. They know this is a sure word from God. They've known this, and they've had it confirmed that it's from God. But they waited, and they waited. And all the waiting eventually turned into them having God's second best. And now they're doing something. They're doing something great. It's nice. But it's not what God told them. Because now they're in a position where they're not sure. Can they do it? Can they pull it off? Whether they're young enough or strong enough. Now that all that doubt is now there as to whether they can do what God told them to do. But it all gets back to wisdom. Wisdom from God. Wisdom is the principal thing. There's an inheritance that God wants to give you. And I'm going to look at one last passage. I'm just going to finish reading it. I'm going back to, actually, I didn't do that passage, so I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stop in a second here. Go to Romans 8. I'm going to give you this reminder. I'm going to keep giving you this reminder over and over and over and over. I'm going to keep giving this reminder to us. Wisdom with faith brings about manifestation. Now, I have the amplified version of this. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Wait for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. All the world is waiting for us to be revealed. There's wisdom that the world can't access until we reveal it. I told you guys last week about the man who made the invention. Created this little thing. Uses sound waves. Put it in a room temperature cup of water. The water would boil almost immediately. Where'd he get it? God gave him wisdom. God gave him a witty invention. He made it. But you know what he did? He held it so he could get his patent because he was going to get rich. And he died. So now you still, we think that Keurig is great back there. He has something, room temperature water, boiled immediately. How? He said sound waves. How do you figure that out? Revelation. God can reveal things to us. But the key is, what do we have faith to believe God for? What do we have faith to believe God for? What do we have faith to, what problem are we willing to put our faith to and let God bring answers? He can give us wisdom. And what I want to encourage everybody here today is let you know we're going to release the wisdom of God. We're going to release the wisdom of God. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about we. I'm talking about everybody who's in here. We're going to release the wisdom of God into the environments where we're called. God's going to give us witty invention if we connect ourselves to the wisdom of God. If we seek out the wisdom of God, God's going to give us answers to things. The world is not going to improve its state on its own. Every major true revelation in the world has happened because somebody in a church got revelation.
The information revolution? A Christian. The microchip? Christian. The steamboat? Christian. You can go down the list. You can keep going back. Because somebody had to get revelation. Plastic. Where does plastic come from? A Christian. You can go through and you can figure out that God always anoints his people with something special. But we have to be open to it. It means we got to strip a lot of stuff off because the world is really trying to conform you to its way of thinking. The world has tried to conform you into a way of thinking. You got to peel that back and you got to listen to God. Means we got to turn some things off. Seek the Lord. Over and over in what I just read to you, God said, I will. Wisdom said, I'm crying out. I'm waiting for somebody to come get me. I'm waiting for somebody to come get me. If you're hungry for some wisdom, God's ready to give it to you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Let's praise God.